The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
And welcome to My Brother and Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What up, Trav Nation? It's me, middleest brother, Travis McElroy. Woof, woof.
It's Griffin McElroy. It's all gone to shit, hasn't it, guys?
Whoa.
The print media has really let us all down.
How
today,
so?
And today, this week, maybe always, just based on how bad they've screwed the pooch this time.
A gross phrase, by the way. Don't do that.
Hey, don't, like, what is that?
They've really porked the puppy on this one.
No, first time someone said it, everyone in the room should have turned them like, excuse me? I don't think so.
There's copy editing issues and typos all over these fucking Wonka reviews, gang.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you're going to have to speak to that, please.
There's just typos about, like, do they not have someone who reads these before they put them up to catch all the typos? Because this is the headline of the Vulture review.
Okay.
Wonka ... is pretty good. That's a typo.
That's it?
That's a huge and terrible, maybe autocorrect typo, because they obviously meant to say really good super duper good. And
hey guys, I'm looking at this Rotten Tomato score. Can this be right?
Wait, hold on. What is it?
Can this be right?
It feels so
84%?
That 84% feels pretty
unreal.
Fucking good to me, man. Because I'm looking at a picture. I'm looking at a picture of Oompa Loompa Hugh Grant, and I'm thinking 84% seems pretty good.
Wow. Out of 165 reviews? Also, I didn't know there are 165 publications in the world that reviewed movies.
Yeah, no,
like,
just Wonka.
Blockbuster.com came out of retirement to review Wonka.
Every review I'm seeing of this one is like, it's pretty good. It's not great. The Vox movie review reads, Timothy Chalamet is not your grandpa's Willy Wonka. I was not aware that my grandpa had his own discreet Willy Wonka. That's exciting.
Yeah.
So does that mean that Johnny Depp was my Willy Wonka? Because fuck that, bro.
Was there a Willy Wonka before, well, I guess the book Willy Wonka?
That's my grandpa's Willy Wonka.
That's my grandpa's Willy Wonka.
And just checking in on an update from star Hugh Grant. This week he called Wonka, drivel. Said he couldn't have hated the whole thing more. And guys, there's the new quote that is absolutely burning up the charts. I have lots of children and need the money.
I saw him say, because 100,000.
Hugh Grant saying the quiet part out loud.
Hugh Grant.
He got lots of kids.
What are you going to do? Not cast Hugh Grant anymore?
Right.
What? Because I don't like being in the movies. You're not going to cast me in them?
Guys, it was like a fucking crown of thorns. Do you understand the experience this man had making this film? Do you know who else wore a crown of thorns? Jesus Christ, who was
Jim
also
Caviezel
crucified by the press.
The Passion of the Christ.
Jim Caviezel got it bad, baby. But this film, guys, this is the last chance we all have to not have seen Willy Wonka.
And then goes on went and released a clip. Where there, it looks like he's got some folks in what seems to be the world of pure imagination, eating all the things. Everything's edible. But here's the thing, guys. The food is poison.
And
that's not me interpreting what happens in the scene. I'm saying there's a moment where Timothée Chalamet hops up on a little mound and yells, "Everybody, it's poisoned." It's been poisoned with Yeti sweat. As we know, makes everybody's hair grow rapidly with wild colors.
I want to say one thing. I got a package this week.
As did I.
From Random House.
Yes.
Penguin Random House. And they were so appreciative of me talking about the Wonka Mad Libs book that they sent me Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I guess, the original. A Willy Wonka Mad Libs and Where's Wonka?
Ooh.
And which is like Willy Wonka, but it's like Where's Waldo? And I just want to say, folks, that's how you do it.
Yes.
We're out here talking about these brands for free.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, someone at Wonka HQ is like,
yes,
I got to get some free stuff to these guys.
Yeah.
Huge. Are you at home? You're sitting there thinking, I've known the McElroy brothers for nigh on 14 years now, almost a decade and a half. How do they truly feel about the Wonka movie? I don't know.
Seems pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm
84% certain it's going to be good.
I haven't seen it yet. I don't know if I'm going to.
The embargo on this one just went up like an hour ago. So, Juice, I'm going to need your finger on the F5 button, keeping us abreast of any changes. Hey, okay, over there, I would need you to be my Wonka Nate Silver, fucking keeping an eye on those stats for me, making sure that
anytime
if it goes.
You guys need, we're currently sitting 166 reviews, 84% fresh.
Okay. I'm just saying, every 10 minutes we dip back in just to make sure that it hasn't gone either way. Because if they hit 85... Hugh Grant gets paid for the movie.
I bet we could get Hugh Grant on My Brother and Me.
He has, in his quote, entered the freak show stage of his career, which that's a great line also from Hugh Grant, doing the Lord's work in these junkets, folks.
A year where he was also in a Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Fuck yeah.
Like, who would have thought that he'd be like, no, the one I'm less proud of is Wonka.
Yeah, what my real shame, it's like, this is why it's so hard to get a job as an actor. If Hugh Grant is saying, don't put me in the movie, I don't like to do them.
Yeah.
I just need the money, but I don't want to do the movie. And they're like, you got the part.
You got it. If you actually go back through his history, if you look, I'm actually reading an interview from a junket for Notting Hill right now. And he said acting in this movie was like a crown of thorns.
Yeah.
He fucking hates acting so much. Travis, you referencing the poison scene made me want to see like a Wonka drama, a drama Wonka.
Uh-huh.
Just with like, and it's just one day, like Aaron Sorkin dialogue of just like a recall that Wonka has to recall all of his chocolate bars.
Okay.
And there's so much castle intrigue happening and so much trying to just shift the blame onto the Oompa Loompas, perhaps. There's something very powerful there.
See, now, Griffin, I was going to pitch a locked room mystery, a real Poirot, like maybe even a crossover, get Kenneth Branagh in there.
Yeah.
Right? Poirot being like, somebody's been murdered.
Yeah.
And watching a detective try to make sense of like, of and then like, they licked, sorry, they licked the wallpaper?
Yeah.
You had him lick the wallpaper. What do I do with this?
The fucking perfect crime. The perfect crime is that Willy Wonka is in his imagination factory.
Right.
And he gets a sharpened candy cane. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Murders somebody.
Yeah.
Eats it.
Oh my God.
You will never, you'll never find.
Now, I will say the one issue.
There's a camera there?
No, there's not
a camera there.
He eats the camera.
There is a fleet of helpers who work for Wonka at the factory who, after each murder, comes out and be like, Wonka murdered that kid in this way. It was ironic. That's what we say. I think any cop or detective who hears that is like, did they just all sing in unison that you killed that guy?
Yeah, we're going to have to bring all you all in.
Wait, what did you see? I'm like, no, we all saw it. But here's
the
thing.
We all saw it.
This is the thing. That's all legally, because it's like, you know, Disney and their whole deal in like Florida. Wonka is powerful enough that the laws have been changed in London or wherever he is, that any whimsical murder happening on Wonka ground, totally legal. This is like someone's been shot. Someone's been stabbed. This is like a full-blown actual murder. And he's like, no, 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 you don't understand. They didn't eat candy and turn into like a big blueberry. They weren't like stretched because they went on my tiny thing. This guy was stabbed.
He was stabbed.
It would be sweet if there were... the movie I want is about like a Scotland Yard detective and she's like down on her luck. You know what I mean? She just has like... She's trying to make a name for herself. And she's like one room behind Wonka in the factory.
Oh,
so like
yes.
She's always one step. It's like, I can tell there's been a murder here. I got to gather clues.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like always one step behind his murderous rampage.
That's cool. Mm. Okay. We got to see this fucking flick though.
We're going to have to see this movie. Saw the third Trolls movie, by the way, and I can confirm I am not in it.
Am I in it?
You may be in it. It's arguable whether or not I can hear a little mild piquant of Griffin.
Okay.
But yeah. You're in it as much as you were in
Mitchell's versus the Machines.
Yeah, Mitchell's versus the Machines, not Meet the Robbins. Okay, I work at a bakery, and on more than one occasion when buying a baguette, people have asked me to rip their bread in half so it fits in their shopping bag.
Fuck yeah.
That's so cool. That's I'm not so allowed cool. to use the knives from the kitchen, so the only option is to snap it with my bare hands, which feels wrong. Why aren't you allowed to use the knives from
okay,
the kitchen?
So that I read over that a couple times, and I'm like, I don't think this is an admission of like, listen, I've had some issues in the past. I'd like to believe it's like, these are our special bread knives.
Yeah.
Like, you're the front person. Yeah. You don't touch.
Like all adults, I'm not allowed to use the knives up front. Like, I'm afraid you've been sold a bill of goods, my friend.
There's a story behind this story that is not being provided, and I wouldn't provide it either, but there had to have been a time where you go back, they're like, hey guys, another customer wants me to snap their bread in half. Can I please use one of the knives? And they're like, you're not going to try and do sword tricks with it, are you, again? And you're like, no. They're like, are you sure? And you're like, yeah, for sure. This is all business. And they hand it to you, and then all of a sudden it's...
There's nowhere to hide away while I commit this crime. So they're just watching me the whole time I'm doing it. Brothers, what should I do the next time I get asked to snap someone's baguette? That's from Sourdough Snapper in Sydney.
Yeah, man.
Mm.
Snap your baguette.
I'll make them snap their own damn bread. I don't need the pressure. You snap it over your knee.
There's liability issues.
The transaction's done. My work here is done. You got the bread. You snap it.
You sign this waiver and I'll snap your bread.
I don't know
do you want this pre-snapped? He just threw it at the ceiling fan. Just throw it at the ceiling fan there.
Yeah. You just gingerly.
As you just slowly raise it up. Close your eyes. It's crusty. It's going to be strong.
Just tear the heel of it off and be like this? Is this how you wanted it divided? Or were you thinking more of it?
Tear it in half long ways. Like this?
There you go.
Now for like a big sandwich? Is that what you...
Just husk it. Just haul the bread out and scoop all the middle bits out and be like, you wanted
it. You could bring yourself to tears? Like, if you could get yourself to a point where you're weeping, like, I'm sorry.
Tie a little blindfold on the baguette.
I'm sorry, big boy. Break its back.
Snap it over, wouldn't you? Snap it over your knee and then be like, are you still going to eat this if it touches my pants? That's not usually a question I have to ask at this food business.
Oh, you know, I'd love to tear this baguette in half, but I got out of that game a long time ago after the shoulder injury, but for you, one last time. And then really, like, bear down, hold it over your head, and, like, make it.
You gotta be open to different food delivery options. Like, you gotta be able to bring that sparkle to the last mile in food service. I'm gonna give you guys a great example.
Okay.
I'm in Seattle. It's 1984. I got to get a fish to my friend. He's over there. This crazy idea crosses my mind.
Yeah.
What if I throw it to him? And then he's like, he's looking at me like, is this guy going to throw the fish?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think I should, but I'm going to try it. I chuck the fish.
Wait, hold on. How much indication are you giving him about what's about to happen?
Do you just give
him
like a hook?
That's the thing about Trav. There was nothing.
Okay.
There was nothing. He just knew. I had a face of a man who's about to throw a fish.
Oh, okay.
I chuck this fish at him. He catches it. Two people standing by are like, do it again.
Yeah.
Like, and then they bring over a friend like, do it again. Do it again.
Yeah.
And then he chucks this fish, bash me. Fast forward 30 years. It's a magnet. it's a movie. It's a musical. Everyone loves the throwing fish in Seattle. They go to the place just because they heard they throw fish there.
Yeah.
So this could be your thing. This could be like, oh, yeah, this guy, you got to see this guy break a bad
guy. And this is the wild thing about that, Juice, is they don't tell you this or really show it. I don't know how they lock down this sort of like flow of information, but they hit a lot of people with those fish every day.
Daily.
Every day someone gets hit with a fish just walking around like I'm looking for candles.
I fucking begged him to stop as the sort of elder statesman of fish throwing. I begged him. I said, I'm like sorry. I didn't know the Pandora's.
You were like Oppenheimer. Yeah.
I didn't know the Pandora's box I was opening.
Yeah.
Were you guys just trying to figure out a fish pun of Oppenheimer?
No.
Flop. Okay.
Sorry, Griffin. Sorry. Commit.
Floppenheimer. Yeah. It's like fishes flop. Because I'll come up with a better one.
Yeah. Before. Okay. We'll
you can also just subrage it.
Sorry. You know,
you're going to bring a saber. Good.
Yes.
You hold the bread up. Boom. And cut it right in half with that saber. Clean in half. Ah, you would like the baguette served as the French do. And then right in the middle.
All right, guys. Quick Wonka update.
Or a guillotine.
Shut the fuck up, Travis.
Sorry, it's at 84%, but now instead of 166 reviews, there are 165. So I'm assuming somebody was like, I wasn't nice enough.
I recant.
I gotta do it again. I recant. I gotta do it again and be more positive. Everybody liked this thing more than me, so I'm gonna try it again.
Oh, shit.
I'm gonna try to review it again.
Hey, this is a good platform for us to please ask the critics who listen to our show who maybe gave Wonka a middling review a better review. I don't think that that's a crazy use of our power.
Yeah, I mean, you work in, the written word. We work in the spoken word, which is, of course, the new medium. Everyone knows speaking words is bigger and better now. It would be a shame if something happened to your little written word platform.
What does that mean?
I'm just saying it'd be a shame if...
Are you anonymous?
I'm just saying it would be a shame if maybe some new media titans use their influence to maybe
Travis,
get...
Are you a hacktivist?
I'm
I
just
Travis
saying.
Travis might be a gray hat hacktivist. Hey, what if Anonymous came after the Wonka reviewers and everyone was like, what are you guys even all about now?
Like, what is your guys' whole thing?
What's your whole thing? I thought I was starting to get a bead on it, but you're like, the corrupt media. We've figured you out.
I just, on the page, on the Rotten Tomatoes page, there's already a trailer featuring Timothée Chalamet with a big computer-generated, like, certified fresh on there.
Oh, yeah. Fuck,
and
yeah.
It's, like, integrated into the video, and the reviews just came out, and this trailer's here. So someone, at some point, was, like, sitting on a computer making this trailer, like, I don't know, guys.
I don't think this was, yeah.
This, I don't know, guys.
I'm going to put my credit card information in this trailer because nobody's going to see this one.
I understand that their metrics on Rotten Tomatoes are different, but if I went to a store and a store was offering 84% fresh milk, I wouldn't buy it. Oh, this milk? Yeah.
There's an 84% chance that the egg you're about to crack into has egg stuff in it. There's a 16% chance anything goes.
I don't know, man. And,
I don't know.
Hi, brothers. I'm a wrestler who needs to run at night to get in good shape. All right. Now, I know this is a little strange to some people. Oh, me. Because running at night can be scary, but it's the only time I have the motivation to do so. Okay. My problem is that when I won, I want to appear menacing and unapproachable, but I don't want to look like a threat. I listen to your podcast while I run, so I'm already laughing running down the street at 9 at night. Thank you. How can I make my run safely while not freaking people out? That's from Running Wrestler.
Yeah, it is not clear there in context whether running down the street at night laughing makes you scarier or more approachable.
Scarier.
Oh, okay.
I'll answer that one. Yep. I don't actually think the human body is able to laugh and run at the same time. Because I don't think there's ever really been an instance where you needed to do that biologically. So it's just not a thing that you can do.
I think the answer here is simple. And it occurred to me just this second. So
oh, really?
You want to be
So this is untested.
Untested. You want to be unapproachable while you're running towards someone. Because once you're past them, they're not going to catch you, right? And then once you're past, you want them to be like, oh, I'm not afraid of them anymore. So you're going to have to wear a two-sided outfit. Scary on the front, but funny on the back. Like, calming on the back.
Like in that one episode of Bluey, when the hero and they paint the faces
on
the back of their heads.
You want something menacing on the front, but gentle on the back.
Yeah. That is not even remotely helpful or what they asked for.
Okay.
Can I fix it?
They weren't looking for ways to be scarier to the person. So it seems like
they want to be unapproachable because they're running at night. So they want to feel safe and secure.
They want to appear menacing. They want to appear menacing.
No.
You can't. Okay. Wait, hold on. My problem is that when I run, I want to appear menacing, but I don't want to look like a threat. Friend, what do you want from us?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They want to figure out a way that when they're running, someone isn't like, I'm going to attack them at night. But they don't want to give the vibe that they're going to attack
somebody. They're the attacker. Okay. I was going to say, being running is about the most unapproachable that you can be. Because you can change the distance of you and the person with the act of the running that you're doing.
So you want to be menacing to bad people, but you want to be reassuring to good people. You need a Batman costume,
Batman
my friend.
Costume.
Yeah, and it's Batman great because then it's also going to help you sweat off some of that water weight in that Batman costume. Get, if you're wrestling, you got to hit your weight class.
Sure.
Batman is a natural like sweatsuit.
Sure. And that's always been my experience.
To be
fair, though,
they don't in a lot of Batman movies just show him jogging down the street to
that's
get
true.
To the
that's
next thing. The Joker's here. I gotta go.
Hey, I'll go. I'm gonna go ahead and go contrary to your point, Trev. I don't necessarily want Batman in my neighborhood. How's that?
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
I don't. This is a nice neighborhood. I don't need Batman hassling everybody in my neighborhood.
Sure.
But I don't just go. I got an idea.
Yeah.
Marathon number.
Oh yeah. Look lost.
No. Marathon number
look like, lost. Just like
no, you're running. You're not lost. There's just gaps. There's
oh,
big gap.
I see.
You're a little slower than the other ones, but you're running. No one's going to think of it. If you have a number on your chest, no one's going to give you a second thought.
Now, here's what I like about that, Justin. It's definitely reassuring. And depending on what you're wearing, if I'm a bad guy and I'm like, I'm going to rob somebody, and I see you in like short shorts, a tank top, marathon number, that person doesn't have cash on them.
Yes.
No. Nobody's wearing a gold watch and their iPhone.
I barely have water in my body. I definitely don't have quarters.
The other thing that I can't stop thinking about with this question is none of this stuff matters if you are fast enough.
That's true.
It doesn't matter how approachable or unapproachable or menacing or not scary you might be. If you're fast enough,
it can almost be a motivator. Like, oh, this is awkward right now.
I gotta get the fuck out of here.
There are so many times I want to run from awkward situations, and you can.
You can. You are. You must.
If you're moving so fast that by the time my brain even clocks, like, am I intimidated by this person, you're gone. Now it's just like, what was that?
No. Okay, but if I'm on the sidewalk and they're on the sidewalk and I see someone see me, and then they're like full tilt boogie, like hauling. I'm done.
Then you need to be running at least 25 miles an hour on residential streets. You can be on the road. You're running 25 miles an hour, speed of a car.
But you don't understand, Justin. It's even that's not an issue if you're fast enough. There's so much. I'm realizing only just now how much I wish I was fast. Because if you're fast enough,
I just want to be
fast.
If you're fast, costume.
The Flash, why did I go with Batman? Why did I go with Batman?
I don't know.
The Flash is
sense.
A fast-running man.
If
the
you're
Flash,
fast,
God damn it!
If you're fast enough,
right
you can't even be...
God damn it! The Flash! Why Batman isn't known for running? Fuck! Batman! Fuck! God damn it! The Flash! It was right there!
If you saw
the Flash
running at normal man speeds, it would be the biggest fucking red flag on the planet. Because someone has a ray somewhere. Someone's got a gym or something that's fucking this dude up, and I don't want any part of it. I don't want to see the Flash jogging. What's happened to him?
Yeah, he's sick. He's so sick.
Mommy! Want to picture a little girl? No, you're not the real Flash. You're pulling down 15 mph max.
God, I wish I was fucking fast.
Yeah.
It would be cool just for once in your life to go fast.
Mm-hmm. I don't even need to be that fast. I would like to be fast enough that another human being was like, oh, damn. Like, that's it.
Fuck, he's fast.
Not I don't like, be hey, there. I don't have okay? to
be the. I don't have to be the fastest man alive. I do want to be fast enough that I can run away from any situation, and the person who I was engaged with or trying to avoid would be like, "He's too fast for me to try and catch up."
Yeah.
That's too much effort required to catch up with that fast man.
It is. It's funny as you get older. When you're a kid, you run all the time because why wouldn't you run all the time? You're a kid. You got boundless energy. Now, me running in like my day-to-day life is so infrequent that it feels like a wizard that only has a few spells left in him.
Like,
you know, kids, I don't pull this out very often, but I do have this ability. Everyone stand back. And then when I do start running, there's always a part in my head where I'm like, wow, you're going pretty fast.
I feel great every time.
I forgot how fast you can run. If you really go for it, J-Man, you are fast.
It has been so long since I've run fast as a human being that I feel like one of those movies where someone's fired a gun, but they didn't count how many times they fired the gun, and they're not sure if there's a bullet left in there or not.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't even know if I could anymore. Yeah. Like, if I go to run and I just fall down?
It's full quap for me every time my body's like, run, which is not frequently, but I do have that burst of speed moment that Justin described where I'm like, holy shit, I'm great. And then like 3 seconds, like 4 strides in, I'm like, oh shit, I can't keep this up. I'm going to fall straight forwards. What?
Yeah. You can, as an adult, go fast for 10 seconds, but then there's 10 minutes after that where it's like, everyone leave me alone.
Please. Gosh. I mean, this WikiHow dovetails so nicely with the subject matter. So thanks to the wizard. Thank you to Dylan who sent this in. It's how to win a sword fight.
Oh.
While many consider sword fighting to be a thing of the past, the sword and the art of sword fighting still fascinates and inspires people. While you can have a lot of fun sword fighting, you should never use weapons that could cause significant harm to your opponent. Use wooden swords or other types that won't injure you or your opponent.
Now, okay, hold on.
Yeah, hold the phone.
Hold on. First of all, kind of ruins a lot of the fun, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. Sure.
Second of all, that's got to be a mutually agreed upon scenario, right? You can't be like, I don't want to hurt my opponent. I'll use a wooden sword. And then meanwhile, your opponent's like, I got a lightsaber. Fuck off.
Yeah. If the Highlander steps to you, you can't pull out a wooden sword and be like, Queensberry rules.
I bet it's hard to convince the Highlander that you're not also a Highlander. Like, he steps up with a sword, and you're like, no, I'm not immortal. And he's like, that's
now,
what
Travis,
they will
think
say.
About what you just Now, Travis, think about what you just said. There can be only how many Highlanders?
One. Eventually, though. It's not that there is only one, Griffin. It's that there eventually...
I've never fucking seen Highlander. So I thought it was like a Doctor Who thing, where there could just be
They're funneling down until eventually there's one Highlander, and then question mark, I guess.
Damn, that sounds cool.
Yeah, man.
I gotta see this fucking flick,
yeah, bud.
Man.
It's new.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Gotta see Wonka, Chalamet.
Gotta see Wonka first. Step one, learning sword fighting.
Do you think that Wonka is a Time Lord? And he's like the Candyman. And
I don't want to even... Trav, I don't even want to pretend to be into this conversation.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about...
Hey, that's a good note.
Assess your melee environment. Awareness of where you are can help assess multiple disadvantages and be able to turn your environment into your advantage. There's got to be a better, more efficient way to say that. If you can
maneuver
yourself...
In the high ground.
If you can, I mean, famously, that's good for sword fighters. Bright sunlight can blind you if it's at the right angle. Forcing your opponent to have the sun in his or her eyes will make it much harder to see you.
But what if that's you're both doing that? And now you're standing side by side.
Both. Turn around and look up, idiot. So I can stab you. A bird up above, look out. Just kidding. That's my friend, the sun. Get stabbed. Ugh. Try not to stand still, as this allows you to avoid being hit and gives you possible openings for attacks. Yeah, I guess I'll get pretty tired, though, huh?
There has to be an in-between, though, right? There has to be an amount of stillness and movement that
it's
balances
hard.
Out. If I'm constantly running a circle around the opponent, can't be the right option.
You can't even bob and weave, right? Because at each sort of edge of the bob and weave, you're stopping for a second. So you have to be constantly moving your body while sword fighting in a circular motion so that the momentum never really stops. Like you're idling in a JRPG or something.
See, if it was me, I would say stand still, but wear a really oversized, sweater. And then they're like, I don't even know where to stab. And they're stabbing where there is no body, right? That's what I would get. Maybe their sword even gets caught in my big poofy sweater.
Yeah.
Hey, and big pants, tall shoes, the whole shebang. Extend yourself in all directions.
Yes. This next step kicks ass. Try to think moves in advance. The smart swordsman doesn't lose.
Oh.
The smart swordsman doesn't lose.
So the losing swordsman is dumb.
Well, both parts of this are kind of wild, right? Because it's like, what happens if two smart swordsmen, just the smarter one wins? I wasn't aware that.
Well, they walked up to each other like chess masters, and they're like, okay. I'm going to check you in four moves. And it's like, well, I would have checked you in three. All right. And then they die. from there.
Then they both just sort of pass away right there. I also really like think of your moves in advance, as if to say, like, I got a big match against Sword Mike coming up tonight. Let me think. I think I'll start out with a chop at his torso. He's probably then going to try to chop at my torso, so I'll go block after that. This should work.
He's going to start crying and tell me about his family and how they need him around. So I'm going to stab him when he does that.
Just looking at his reel, looking at his tapes with the coach, like, if you look, Sword Mike likes to stab down. Okay, man. Sword Mike jumps in the air and then does a sort of down stab. Grip the sword properly with both hands. Some of this stuff, we've tried to, I tried to learn fencing once. I went to one fencing class at Marshall.
Oh my gosh, how did that go?
Bad. Because there's a lot of stuff in sword fighting that is pretty boring, right? Like, imagine yourself sword fighting, okay? And now here's the next, like, eight steps. Grip the sword properly with both hands.
Griffin.
What?
If the fencing class was so bad, you could have protested, and then you could have picketed the fencing class. Like a picket fence?
But it's Trav, they're saying no. They're saying, sorry. Yeah, they're saying no on that.
Okay, let me tell my writer. Yeah, it didn't work.
You tried it. You had to try it.
BB made that joke.
No, that was your fucking voice, Travis. And that was your voice. I know your voice so good.
We'll get it in post.
Get what?
The laugh track?
We don't. I don't think we want those on the show.
What?
Hold your sword in the ready position at all times. Open your body at a 45-degree angle. Your left foot.
At all times?
Oh, yeah. Open your body at all times. Have your sword in the ready position at all times. Sleeping, making love, eating at Chipotle. Sword at the ready at all times, because they'll get you. That's how they fucking get you. The smart swordsman never loses, and neither does the secret
smart
swordsman.
Never loses, and no one's talking about that.
No. Practice the eight different angles of attack. This is fucking boring. This is how we won the Revolutionary War, is that the British were all like, 45-degree angle, chaps, eight angles of defense, and we just came in there with our swords like, we don't know the rules of how to do this.
We've got swords.
We're not holding a lantern above our head with our other hand. We're going two swords.
Yeah, and that's how we
check
kicked their ass.
This is a little American invention we'd like to introduce you to. It's called a gun.
It's like a sword that moves at you really quick.
Yeah. Well,
it chucks tiny swords.
I do think that the British did have guns in the Revolutionary War.
I don't think so, okay. Griffin. Check your facts,
bud. Is this a podcast or a history class, man? Come on.
They can't be the same thing.
Defending yourself. I want to skip this whole fucking chapter, because let me tell you guys, you get me in a sword fight, I don't have to defend myself.
Yeah.
It won't get that far. You know what I mean?
A strong attack is the best defender.
Yeah. If I was fast, I wouldn't have to worry about defending myself either.
You know what makes for a really good defense? A bigger sword. Bigger How are they going to get around that? And I'm not talking about longer. Talk about wider. Look at the Buster sword.
Cookie sheet width.
Yeah.
Sword that they just can't get around.
Cloud Strike. Everywhere. He can just hold the sword in front of him. You can't get around it.
A sword that wraps all the way around my body like a diving bell.
Yes.
Good luck getting through that one, Sephiroth, you dumb idiot.
Yeah. Look at your tiny, thin sword.
Hey, pencil dick. Try to get through this thick sword, idiot.
Look at my chode of a sword.
Just make a sword the size of my big, beautiful Buick that I can hide
behind.
Yes.
I set it up like a lean-to.
Every time Justin runs someone over with his Buick, which happens a lot, he goes, oh, I stabbed him.
I struck true.
The smart swordsman. Wait, he's driving away.
A smart swordsman runs your ass over. I don't even start the sword fight. I just hit you with my car. Sword fight over.
Do you think, guys, when the first knight wore armor to a war battle, someone saw him and was like, that, guys, you're going to think I'm fucking with you? That dude has a sword that wraps around his whole body, his head, chest, legs, and hands. He's got swords fucking everywhere. He wears the sword like we would wear a shirt and pants.
We are fucked.
Hey guys, there's a sword holding a sword over there.
Yeah, he's gonna hug us and we're dead.
We're dead meat, man. Where even was I? Perform a block against your opponent's move. No, parry your opponent's attack without your sword. I still don't know what that means. Displace your opponent's sword and hit them as they attack. Now, this is where we start to get into the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're saying they come at you, make them fuck up, and hurt them.
The riposte, I believe it's called.
Yes, that might be what that is. That's a word I've only know from Assassin's Creed, and I didn't ever look it up.
Where in this article, Griffin, does it talk about putting on the armor of God?
Yeah. That comes up at the end. It says The armor of God, the belt of Jesus,
and the sword of good grades.
The shield's the Bible.
Uh-huh. I know that one because it's so thick.
Yes.
Yeah, man, Travis said the sword of good grades, and it's really funny. I don't want to just blow past it.
Avoid stabbing movements with your sword.
What?
Apparently,
like at all?
The natural instinct for most people is to try to stab their opponent as soon as they can with their sword. That's an uncontrollable reflex when someone puts a sword in your hands. You must start stabbing as quickly as you possibly can. The stabbing move is apparently a terrible move most of the time, and it will only make you very vulnerable to your opponent.
Once again, instead of a very wide sword here, I'm talking about a very long sword. Maybe it's even got like a little tripod on wheels. This thing extends out about 7 or 8 feet in front of you. Good fucking luck.
Yeah, well, stab is actually, I'm thinking about, a pretty bad move. Because you only do a pretty little cut, and then it makes you get closer to them.
Not with an 8-foot sword. Yeah.
Then you're going to get stabbed.
If you do it in the right place, it's like...
And all the way through, you can even get the guy behind him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you're lucky.
That's the next step. If you can, get through 2 or 3 guys with one incredible stab. It says if you must stab, line them up first. Execute the basic attacking movement.
Tell them you got Werther's, but there's only enough for everybody to have one.
Yeah.
Line up.
They need to line up. Get your Werther's.
Griffin, was that step execute the basic movement, but that's not stabbing?
The basic attacking movement. Bring your sword forward towards your opponent. Then step towards your opponent and slightly to the right. This will bring you away from your opponent and prevent them from attacking you. Bring your sword down in a straight line and hit your opponent. There are steps after this one. Why?
Follow through? I mean,
apologize.
Apologize to their widow.
Apologize to their kids because they're dead.
This dance routine is take a step forward, slightly to the right, chop their head downwards, and then there's more stuff after that.
The next step is a question. Did you miss? Fuck.
Start over. WikiHow. I don't need any more than this. I've finished my use. You're done. I'm on to the next WikiHow article.
It's over. Get back to study and keep those grades up. No more sword fighting for you.
Perform a feint and kick to your opponent's groin. After I've chopped their head with my
sword. That should be the first move. I've just missed.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to kick him in the balls?
You might put yourself in a better position for that one attack you're going to do to work out. If the groin kick was an option, we should lead with that and just see if it resolves.
Yeah.
Maybe we could head this thing off before heads are...
Do you want to keep going after this? No.
Yes.
Okay, great.
No.
I'm pretty sure in the 10 dual commandments, number 2 is the groin shot. And then death, the killing blow comes much, much, much later. Guys, next step, avoid lifting your arms and sword behind your head. What I do with my sword at this point is entirely up to me.
So I've chopped them in the head. I've chopped them in the head and I've kicked them in the balls. And now I'm worried about leaving myself vulnerable.
Yeah, I'm lifting my sword over my head so I can throw it in the ocean and get rid of the evidence of the person whose head I just
chopped. I'm raising my sword over my head to offer it for auction to raise money for the widow.
Yes.
Okay, now what'll I get for this sword?
Yes.
I have to start a scholarship fund for their five kids.
The only place this article needs to go is how to fake a 911 call.
Like, yeah, yeah.
This guy just came out of nowhere and he just stabbed this guy and I was so scared. I tried to kick him in the crotch and nothing worked. But then this other guy came around and cut him the fuck in half. He looked so cool doing it. He looked so cool, but then he ran away because he's fucking fast.
He was dressed like the Flash.
It's just like the
It
Flash.
Made complete sense.
He just fucking bisected this guy and ran.
He was you so gotta get fast out here. And cool.
It wasn't me. He said I was next if I talked. I'm brave.
Is there a reward?
I don't want to get my groin kicked.
I'm going to wait to tell you this till there's a reward.
The last step is control the flow of the fight. Done.
Yeah.
Checked.
Done.
Check mark.
Bring it to a satisfying conclusion.
We're going to take a break, go to the money zone, and we'll be back with you, our friends, right after this.
Justin, you heard about this Squarespace all the kids are talking about?
Yeah, it was actually a big help for me when I was making websites in the past because I didn't know anything about it. I have actually tried to do it with like HTML editors and stuff like that, and it was honestly beyond me. But Squarespace makes it really easy. It's fun to do because it's just pulling together blocks, you know, these templates. They're made by real people who really know what they're doing, and you're just bringing your own stuff to plug into it. So it looks like a professional website, but you don't need tons of experience to get it going. And you can do whatever with the sites. You can sell stuff. They got lots of tools for that. If you want to put some pro level videos in there, there's a Squarespace Video Studio app now to help you get that going. It is simply the best way, Trav, to make a website. Sorry, that was probably more explanation.
Yeah, I was kind of leading into a thing, Justin, where I was going to talk about Squarespace, but no, please. You did a great job.
Yeah. What did I do? What did I say wrong? What do you disagree with?
No,
what did I miss?
Everything you said is true, but you did forget to say, go to squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use offer code mybrother, all one word, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. You left that part out.
Oh, I didn't leave it out. I was just making conversation with you. Is it time to do the ad reads?
Oh my God, this is so awkward.
Your grandma has enough candles.
Yep.
This time of year, we all have to look at our grandmas and say, what do you need?
And also say, like, this isn't your Wonka. This is my Wonka.
You need to be okay with the fact that we have our own Wonka now. And you need to
Your
accept
time
that.
Is done. You're you, done, Grammy. This Gram is Grams. My Wonka.
You may borrow Depp if you must. But no, they don't need candles anymore. What you should get them is Aura Frames. Aura Frames is like the perfect gift for a person who you know that they don't need candles, but you don't know anything else about them. But they're special to you in your life. This idea of here's a nice picture of me and my family has always been there. Aura Frames has streamlined that process to a degree that is ingenious. All you do, you get them the Aura Frame, and then you can upload all of your favorite pics to it. Super easy. You can keep it updated using the Aura app, and you can invite like your whole family to keep that updated. It is a very slick thing that we have genuinely given a lot of people as gifts because it's a great gift.
Yep.
Especially if you're not like very active on the soch with your kids, you can just have your own secret social network of Aura Frames in your home and the homes of the people that you love. Save yourself the hassle of last minute shopping. Visit AuraFrames.com/mybrother today and get $30 off their best selling frames. These frames sell out quickly though, so get yours before they're gone. That's AuraFrames.com/mybrother. Use promo code mybrother to get $30 off of their best selling frame. Terms and conditions apply.
Last week, The Greatest Generation, the comedy podcast about old Star Trek TV shows like Star Trek The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager, just had its 500th episode.
And Greatest Trek, the podcast about the new Star Trek shows like Strange New Worlds, Lower Decks, and Discovery, just had its 250th episode.
So whether you have a task that's roughly 750 hours long, or you want to learn about some of the production techniques that go into making one of the greatest franchises in television history, you should give us a try either way.
The Greatest Generation and Greatest Trek, the best reviewed, most listened to Star Trek podcasts in the world. They're on Maximum Fun.
Cameron Esposito here, comedian and host of Query. Every week I get to interview someone amazing from the LGBTQIA+ community. Some queeros. I chat with them about their lives, loves, careers, and more. I've talked to, you know, giant celebs, Trixie Mattel, Lena Waithe, Tegan, and Sarah Quinn, but also astronauts, reverends, nurses. It's funny, it gets deep, and hopefully it makes you feel like you're part of something. Join me every Monday on Maximum Fun to listen to Query with Cameron Esposito.
Okay.
Let's go. I want to munch
squad.
I want to munch
squad.
Welcome to Munch Squad, this podcast within the podcast profile and the latest and greatest of brand eating. And guys, I have big news for you. There's a sequel to McDonald's.
What?
McDonald's 2, the new McDonald's. They spun it off and there's a new one that they have.
What could that possibly mean?
It's called Cosmics.
What?
And it's COS, M, capital M.
Yeah.
C, apostrophe, S.
Cosmics. Cosmics.
And it's a sequel.
Yeah,
it's
to McDonald's.
Sequel to McDonald's. It's the second... It's not McDonald's, okay?
No, it's the squeakle.
If you call it McDonald's, they get freaking pissed because it's not McDonald's. It's a sequel called Cosmics.
Uh-huh. They've taken a lot of the narrative hooks of McDonald's.
Yeah, a lot of the characters we know and love.
And really explored them a lot further.
Meet McDonald's before the burger or something like that. You know what I mean? Like that's, so it's beverage focus. It's Cosmics. A new player in the beverage segment.
Okay.
Being the top burger chain isn't enough for McDonald's. During Investor Day on Wednesday, it revealed its long-awaited Cosmics prototype, a small format restaurant.
Who was waiting for it?
Me.
Everybody. It's where beverages take center stage. They got churro frappes. They got s'mores cold brew, sour cherry energy burst, tropicals. What?
These are just words.
Spicy.
These are just words you're saying, Justin. This thing's
nothing.
Don't
interrupt.
They're frigging satisfying, great, refreshing beverages that you can have anytime you want. Look at these fucking.
Did you say something about the spice age in there?
There's a spice aid.
Spice aid.
It's life.
Okay.
This tropical life aid, it should be called.
Fucking hell,
spice
man.
Life.
There's words in here I've never even seen before. Flavors, my mind can't even imagine. Did Wonka get his hands on this?
There's a popping pear slush. It does seem like Wonka's magical influence has permeated.
Yeah.
Like, and then, but they have drinks too. They don't just have drinks. Drinks are the main attraction. It's like McDonald's if you're thirsty. Do you know what I mean? It's
McDonald's
for
if you're nasty.
Popping and pear, like, popping pear slush is such a yucky... to such a yucky phonetic journey to go popping pear slush.
The drive-through prototype is equipped with digital menu boards and cashless payment services. Additionally, guests are assigned to one of several pickup windows when their order is ready, ensuring they can move quickly through the queue. Cosmics has its own website and mobile app apart from McDonald's. This is not McDonald's.
No.
Let me emphasize again. We are talking about 12 stores. 10 stores, the CEO said. So they're going to do 10 Cosmics. There's only one right now. But you can go to it if you're in Illinois. Just go. Cosmics has its own website and mobile app apart from McDonald's. This is not McDonald's. The big story isn't about Cosmics per se. The big story is what it says about McDonald's and our potential. To think, a little over a year ago, this was an idea. And this week we're opening the first test site. So it doesn't seem like they thought about it.
No.
Very much. But here's the thing. It's all beverage focused, right? This sequel to McDonald's. But then they're like, I guess we have a little food that you can eat. And guys, just check this out. You don't want me to fixate on food, but you got a spicy queso sandwich. You don't want me to fixate on food, but you got McPops. They're full with hazelnut and probably peanut butter.
Now,
it starts to feel, this feels a lot like it's McDonald's.
Well, look at the bottom right of this image. If you can explain.
Thank you, Griffin.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Please. Oh, well, there's a little window in this food gallery.
Where the realities of frayed.
With the borders of the multiverse. It says, from the McDonald's universe, Egg McMuffin sandwiches and M&M's flurry. From the McDonald's universe.
It's a crossover event. You can get a McMuffin at this fucking humanless McDonald's called Cosmix. It's not McDonald's. But they do have, you know, for the fans, a little bit of fan service. They'll give you an Egg McMuffin if you want it.
A nice foothold.
I'm confused by all of this, guys. What's happening?
It's a spinoff of the thing they're already doing, but they're going to open 10 of them and be like, it's McDonald's with good food and more drinks. And everybody's like, I think I love it. And it's like, yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that you'll like coming here.
Does the spicy queso sandwich have fried pickles on it?
It looks fucking wild. For them to be like, this is a beverage-only experience, and also the wildest fucking sandwich we've ever made in our whole careers.
Also, for some reason, they chose of like, okay, what's the aesthetic? Well, we're going to make it look like every like food item is falling from the sky.
Yeah.
The company also announced ambitious plans to reach 50,000 McDonald's by 2027, which would mark its fastest period of growth in brand history. Guys, hey, the idea that we are about to enter a period where there's the most McDonald's opening that have ever been, where are they finding this growth?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be amazing if they brought back like themed McDonald's? Like those don't pretty much exist anymore. But if they're like, now this one is like a jungle themed restaurant and this one is going to look like, oh, you're in France, but it's in like a small town in Idaho. Bring back
Travis, what are some of the like examples of themed McDonald's?
Oh my dude, have you never gone down this rabbit hole? There used to be like like dinosaur like themed Jurassic World kind of McDonald's, and like there's the Rock and Roll McDonald's that used to be in Chicago.
Rock and Roll McDonald's, yes, we know about this.
There were like,
I mean, I know that they
Hollywood themed ones.
A Burger King in France into the Spider-Verse. I remember that.
This is like a 90s, 2000s thing where there were so many popping up that they were like, this one's a dinosaur McDonald's.
Oh, you give them a little bit of like extra personality.
Yeah.
This is, I will say also, this is freaking great. There's a churro frappe at Cosmix. And then I've also got a story here about Taco Bell unleashing a churro chillers in California.
Oh,
so churro, cold churro drink. Churro may be the new flavor. That
what's churro chillers?
Churro chillers.
You know how churros are traditionally served warm well,
and solid.
And solid. Well, they cold them up.
It's just like a frosty churro inspired drink.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Anyway, that's what's happening in the world of McDonald's. They're opening the next McDonald's.
It's not McDonald's.
I'll be honest, Juice. I forgot about McDonald's.
Who wants to go there? Cosmix has McPops.
It's better.
They probably shouldn't keep calling stuff Mick. If they wanted a new name to get out from underneath the shadow, they shouldn't have crossover events like the McMuffin.
Yeah.
And they should call it something different, like Bev City or something.
Yeah.
Something better than that. Hey, folks, if you got tickets to Canaanites and you watched it, gosh, that is so meaningful to us. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. If you haven't watched it yet,
kick rocks.
Griffin. No. Griffin, they can still go.
Oh, yeah. They can?
Yeah. It's video on demand, man.
Yeah. Till January 1st, you can pay $5 or more. If you could do more, it would be so helpful, because all the money goes to Harmony House, which is a shelter for people experiencing homelessness in my area. So it really means a lot. If you didn't see it, you probably watched all the chatter. It's not too late. Go check it. Totally out. bit.ly/CandleNights2023.
If you did see it, help us spread the word. Be like, oh, this is amazing. Yeah. You guys got to check it out.
Unless you hate it, then keep your trap shut.
Just keep that shit to yourself. We got some merch. Merch. Hunger Dice. Designed by Everwin. It's Everwin's Workshop on Instagram using Die Hard Dice's Avalor mold. We have rainbow plated metal Bureau of Balance keychains. We've got the Pedals to the Metal book bundle, which has Garrel and a copy of Pedals. And we got a sale going on through January 1st, 30% off all apparel, 20% off all other items. And you buy 5 shirts, you get a free backpack, and there's a discount on past merch stuff. So go check it out. 10% of all merch proceeds this month go to Harmony House.
Thank you to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. Great track. Great stuff in the Candle Nights. If you're a fan of Montaigne, some good Montaigne content in the Candle Nights video. Another reason to go and check that out. Thank you so much, Montaigne. And I think that's it. Is this our last episode of the year?
Maybe.
We're not going to have new episodes next week. Getting everybody some time off. And we'll be back the first week of January. We got a lot of cool people to work for us, and we don't want to make them have to listen to our voices and look at our faces for a week. I think it's the least we can do.
Yeah. Well, hey, happy 20 Sun and Sea to all.
Yeah. I hope y'all vibed a bit. And next year, well, God, our next one's going to be the naming, isn't it?
Oh my God. Is that right?
I'll be honest with you, dudes. It feels like we just did this.
Yeah,
shit.
I haven't put any thought into it. I know.
This one really blew by. Okay. Let's
That's what happens when you're wasting away, Justin.
That's true.
When you're on island time, it fucking flies by, dude.
That's true.
Let's hit everybody with that sonic bath.
Okay.
Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Whoosh, 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 whoosh,
whoosh, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. I'm Justin McElroy.
Me, I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother may kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.